Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, broadcasting live from Singapore, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again somewhere, I think. Yeah, I think I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you should be in Singapore. We're casting live, but no, you won't go there for me. Thanks a lot, partner.
Of course. Anytime.
Okay. And I have the lovely, talented Keisha T. I don't know. I ran out of names for her.
So. Hey, you guys.
Hey, what's going on?
One day I will find a good name for Keisha. Trouble T.
We going to call it T-squared? T-sizzle?
T-squared? I don't know. TN? I don't know.
Tea from the tree.
Tea.
I don't
know. No, you know what? I got it. The smoking tea.
Dear Lord.
All right, whatever.
Okay. Well, before we get started, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number to call is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Smoking tea. And Sean Black, are you ready to drop some F-bombs?
No, but we're ready to piss people off about that.
Okay. So, shall I have to make an announcement quickly? Go ahead.
Yeah. As I always do, our friend Max has his own blog. It's called Real Issues with Lewis at realissues.blogspot.com. This one is basically about what's going on with Medicare, Social Security, and what you can do to try and save up money and make sure that you don't fall victim to what may potentially happen in 8 to 10 years, when it seems like Social Security is starting to run out of liquidity and running out of its money. So check that out, realissues.blogspot.com. Very good stuff there.
And I want to give a shout-out to our listeners in Norway and Israel. Welcome aboard to our crazy show. We're glad and happy, and thank you for tuning in to us. And give a shout-out to one of our listeners, Shirley F. I'm not going to say the last name. She went through some surgery, but she's still determined to listen to us. We thank you, and we hopefully you get well soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Get well
okay.
soon.
Before I get started with other topics, I want to make it clear, both Tisha and Sean understand, that tonight's supposed to be Game 5 of the NBA Finals, but it's not happening because they got swept by the Warriors. I want everyone to know right now that the debate of LeBron versus Michael Jordan is over.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron is not the greatest of all time. He is a great player. He's a great of this generation. No problem. You could give him any titles you want. But in the end, when it's time to step up, he failed as a leader emotionally, and an idiot broke his hand. And it's funny, like, I'm not criticizing, the media and the sports was not criticizing about the loss. It's the fact that he broke his hand and he tried to hide it. So he let the emotions took over his mind again. It was like, wow. Despite you made it to the finals for the 8th time, people not talk about how you lost, but why you lost. Because they're blaming that.
Well, did he break his hand game 4? Because he was playing great before that. So what happened?
He broke his hand game 1.
He punched the whiteboard in the locker room after game 1. If you remember, he went 51-8-15 or whatever his ridiculous stats were. And because of the whole J.R. Smith blow-up game where he lost his mind after they got the rebound and dribbled out the ball when they had time and a timeout left, I believe after the game was over, he was frustrated. He went into the locker room and punched the whiteboard, and that's where he broke his hand.
Yeah,
and he played
okay.
the rest of the series with the broken hand. But even playing the rest of the series, he's still averaged about 29. He's averaged pretty much a triple-double the rest of the series. So
but he did
we're going to grade him on a curve based on what he did previously and what you were expecting to see out of him. And even with the broken hand, he's and the way that the rest of the team played, because let's be honest, he had no help the rest of the series. The fact that he did that with the broken hand is still astonishing. But yet, let's call it like you just stated, and I've said this before, you cannot compare players from different eras and make it a fair fight. Jordan was great in his own way for so many different other reasons and different things as well. This particular era with LeBron James, completely different era, different athletes, different rules, different NBA.
Well, but I'm sure there will be people out there that will disagree. They will say LeBron James is the greatest. You know what? So be it. Do not debate it with me because I don't care. And people don't realize I can't stand Jordan. As a true Knicks fan, any true Knicks fan will let you know that they cannot stand Jordan for reasons. But you know what? It's over. Let's go on to the next F-bomb. Sean Black, Tisha, last night on the Tony Awards, Robert De Niro went on stage and just dropped the F-bomb of Donald Trump and just say, basically, he went off script and say, F-Trump. Last week, we talked about Samantha Bee and the statement that she made, and of course, we talked about Roseanne Barr. Let's get right to it. Sean Black. We knew De Niro did not like Trump for a long time. That's nothing new.
No.
So you think this platform was basically a double standard of what we talked about last week of Samantha Bee and Roseanne Barr, and like the crowd was cheering for what De Niro said. But at the same time, you have the left wing and the right wing going crazy about this F-bomb.
The apparent lack of anger from the quote-unquote news media about Robert De Niro dropping his F-bombs. And not only did he do it once, he did it twice. He said, I first want to say F-Trump. It's no longer down with Trump, it's F-Trump. And then he raised his fist, he pumped his fist in the air, and he got a standing ovation. This is the tenor of what's been going on, in the fact that a great chunk of society feels the same way that De Niro felt. But the platform in which he used the vulgarity, in my opinion, had no reason to be said there at all. Because this was the Tony Awards. Tony Awards had nothing to do with Trump, had nothing to do with policies, had nothing to do with, if you were saying President Trump was doing something to take money away from the arts and sciences and was going to do something to Broadway plays, etc., maybe there might have been some context in there, but in general, there's always going to be that mindset that there's a hypocrisy between why the quote-unquote liberal media can get away with saying such vulgarity on television towards the president or towards anyone else, and yet other people in different situations can't get away with it and get excoriated on the air. Samantha Bee apologized based on what she did. What she did was not a racist slant, like Roseanne Barr's tweets were a racist slant. Samantha Bee just used a vulgarity that she should not have used on a scripted television show. This, what happened with Robert De Niro, was a live show. Completely spontaneous. Could have said anything. He said the F-bomb twice. And as far as I'm concerned, he shouldn't have said it. But it's there. You're gonna basically poke the bear on that situation.
Tisha?
I totally disagree, and I'm going to tell you why. We've just been speaking about leadership. Our leader, every day, to different countries and people in his own country, he always has something to say on Twitter or whatever the case may be. When he goes to his rallies, he pumps his fist as well. The Tony Awards, isn't it being honored for acting, right? Something that
yeah.
he does on a daily basis, too. So for Robert, De Niro to come on there and actually do that, I thought that was great. Great platform because he uses Twitter in the same form to say what he needs to say. He uses his rallies. Why are we still rallying? You won. You understand what I'm saying? To get people all pumped up. CBS, you know, they apologize for it and things like that. But it's just that if your leader is doing this, why can't you? Freedom of speech.
Oh,
wow, you know
I'm
what?
Not...
For once, before you go on, Sean, for once on this panel, I see Tisha's side and Sean's side. So it's like, wow, both of you guys have strong points, but go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, my thing is, I have no issues with his First Amendment right to say screw Trump. If he wanted to, he can tell him to sit on whatever object he wanted and spin in a 360 mode and then jump up and down and say Yankee Doodle Dandy, if that's what he so chose to do. My thing is, the same way that we get on certain athletes at awards shows that we used to do like years ago about religious beliefs or about other things, I don't think anybody has a problem if they have something, quote-unquote, pertinent to say. A message that has some kind of meaning, some heartfelt meaning, other than a vulgarity. If somebody had a message, if this is, we're talking about an award ceremony, that small amount of those words that he used, for a lot of people, have taken a lot of the attention off of the actual award show. What a lot of people don't realize is that I believe it was the choir from the Parkland, Florida high school that was involved in that shooting. They did a song on stage, which was heartfelt, et cetera, et cetera. It was very heartfelt, very emotional, got to the root of why you go to see these kinds of award shows. But for a lot of people, the only thing that they're talking about right now is not the people that were on the award that won the awards. They're talking about what Robert De Niro said. And in a lot of instances, when somebody says something like that, the attention is pulled away from the actual event that it is being housed at, and they focus on those words and that actual context.
But, okay, to Tisha's point, Sean Black, I believe what she's trying to say that the message worked. I mean, yes, you granted it took away from the positive side, but let's be honest, negative always outweighs the positive. But it caught people's attention. It's how you say earlier, this is how people been feeling. And you have someone like a leader like Robert De Niro, and believe me, personally, he's a humble guy. So he's one of those, you piss him off, you really must have pissed him off, you know, to go out there and to say the two words, F Trump. Millions of people have been saying that. Millions of people have been thinking about that. Out there, do I agree that he used a platform to do that? There's many other platforms to do it. Why on a war show? You know what? We come to a stage right now, I like to say, why not? If the NFL players go to make a stand now by taking a knee, if other award shows, there's been nothing but politics been going on, why not the Tony Awards now, you know?
You know, he also opened his, I think, restaurant today or something in Canada, and he actually apologized, and he apologized in a nice, nasty way because he apologized for what he said on CBS, but then said, you know, and I'm sorry about my president to Canada, and Canada cheered because they don't like it either.
Of course.
They don't like, you know, what Trump is doing.
But your president,
he could also
right
use
now.
That platform if he wanted to say F Trump. Doesn't matter which platform, even if he used that one. When he was opening it, and he could have said it right there because they were all, you know, turned up when he said that as well.
But it comes down to the double standard. If Samantha Bee says something about the president's daughter, you know, it's like, what is there a limit to this at all? If the left and the right will keep attacking each other on national TV, what are we teaching our children? Oh, it's okay. I call Sean Black an a-hole, or I call Tisha a bitch on TV, and, you know, retaliation. There's going to be retaliation in social media and TV nonstop.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
How about our president stay off of Twitter? He doesn't have to tweet every day.
Society has gotten into some sort of a tribal space where you take a side, and no matter how right or wrong that side is, the people that are part of those tribes are going to defend that tribe almost to the death. Because that's what it seems like is going. We're in that scary area where we're starting to see a hive mind of people thinking the same way collectively for one particular reason, and that is to further the agenda of whatever side they're on. And what we're hearing now is that somebody says something racist, and regardless of how bad it sounds, you're seeing one side potentially defend that person's right to say something racist, Yet at the same time, you also have to take into consideration the other side, which is although it is a freedom of speech, there is no freedom of consequence. And those are the things that you have to take into consideration when you do open your mouth and say something.
And it's funny, earlier, Tisha, I sent Sean a video of a man. He was a huge Robert De Niro fan in Staten Island. He could tell he's a military guy, or go by the American flag, all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. He had a big picture of Robert De Niro. And after what he saw last night, he took the picture, smashed it in the garbage can, and ripped Robert De Niro picture up. I'm not a fan of you no more because of what you say about Trump. And like I told Sean, these Trump supporters are taking it very seriously. I am amazed by Trump supporters right now. It seems like it's growing day by day.
But you know something? Like, they have more of a loyalty to Trump than they seem to have to their own party. As a lot of people have said on various news platforms and talk shows, etc., I hear more people say that they will support Trump over their own party. And that's really scary. Because if the head of your party thinks completely in his own world and has his own rules and does certain things that alienates the party, the people that are now following Trump are going to alienate the rest of the party, and whatever Trump does, they co-sign for. And even if it's racist, misogynistic, sexist, if it's devoid of all empathy, a lot of people are following that along. For instance, Trump Trump had an argument with the Prime Minister of Canada, and somebody came along and defended the president and saying, I think his name is Navarro, I can't remember his first name. He said something along the lines of, it's, you know, you're asking for trouble if you're going to say something about, you basically stab the president in the back. That was his comment. You stab the president in the back, and it's like career suicide, political suicide, et cetera, et cetera. And these are the kinds of lines that people are drawing between defending their party and defending Trump. And that's what's
so are you saying that Trump is a bully? Are you saying Trump is a bully now? Or been a bully? Or extreme bully?
He might be. He might just be. Where's our vice president? Our vice president doesn't say anything, huh?
Vice president is just as bad in a lot of instances, and in some instances, worse.
Worse.
And we've seen that.
As we speak it right now, Trump is making history and having a meeting, quote-unquote meeting, with Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, of North Korea.
Lord.
Isn't that
Kim
right
Jong
now?
Kim Jong-un.
Whatever. He's Dennis Rodman's BFF. That's who I know him as. Right now, Bush did not do it. Clinton did not do it. Obama did not do it. Donald Trump is doing it right now as we speak. A meeting with North Korea. You don't find that as a major impact? Do you find that as something positive that's going on right now?
It will only be positive
for something positive. Tisha first.
No, sorry. Did the meeting actually start? Because I know earlier they were talking about he may or may not do it. It started already.
It started at 9 o'clock our time.
Okay, gotcha.
They're talking now as we speak. Because they're meeting in Singapore, and Singapore is a 12-hour difference between New York and Singapore. And they started off by meeting each other at, I believe it's at a hotel or a resort in the Singapore area. They came out from opposite sides. They shook hands. They smiled for the camera. Trump patted them on the shoulder. They walked into a room. They sat down. They shook hands again. And I guess they're going to go over whatever they're going to go over right now. So they're meeting as we speak.
In other words, they're smoking cigars, drinking some whiskey, and laughing at this whole situation off. That's what's happening right now.
It's a photo op for both. Kim Jong-un is trying to get legitimate. He's trying to have his country and his reign legitimized. This is the first time since he's taken over from his father, Kim Jong-il, and have actually left the country for a major meeting conference with another world leader. So that's pretty big.
Well, so you are finally giving Trump a little bit of credit.
Giving him credit for something that you wouldn't even expect have actually happened, it probably would not have happened if Trump was not the abrasive person that he is. Because let's be honest, this summit was born out of all the rhetoric that happened.
Can you ever give your president some type of credit?
I already told you before, when credit is due, I will give him credit. Nothing has come out of this yet. Because remember, at any point in time, we could all be talking about, I guess we'll be going in the dark for the next 800 years. So we don't know what's going to come out of this.
All right, so quickly, what about all the pardons that Trump has been doing lately that you and I discussed this morning? When Kim Kardashian came over, was shocked everyone, like Kim Kardashian talking with Trump, pardoning about the woman that was in prison for like 20 years or so. She got released last week. You don't give credit for that?
I don't.
Trump,
I don't, because I don't, because it, every time, let's say something that Obama couldn't do or didn't want to do, Trump will make sure he does it. So this woman, Obama didn't want to pardon her when it was his term. So it really looks good on his part for him to do that, because now he thinks he can pardon everybody, Martha Stewart and Muhammad Ali. Like, come on.
I find Hot Rod and I, we talked about this a little earlier. I find this very ironic that with all of this pardon power, which our president is now trying to wield like it's some sort of, you know, power pellet that Pac-Man would eat and make him strong and eat all the ghosts, what he's doing right now is nothing more than politicized to try to get favor with a section of people that view him as very, very racist, as somebody that is unfeeling, that only cares about his own base and people like him. He's trying to pardon, as you said before, Alice Marie Johnson, who's the one that was pardoned through Kim Kardashian. We talk about Jack Johnson, the first ever African-American world boxing champion, who was pardoned literally the week before that. And the only reason why that happened is because Sylvester Stallone suggested it. Then, in the same breath, the same people that Donald Trump has been going to war over, which has been these NFL players who have been protesting their First Amendment rights, and has nothing to do with patriotism or the flag. It has everything to do with what's been going on in the streets with police officers, police brutality, the inequality that's being felt within the neighborhoods. He wants those same people that he called, and I quote, sons of bitches, the ones that he wants to have fired from their job for being, quote unquote, unpatriotic and kicked out of the country. He now wants to go to all of those players that are protesting, that are going to go down on a knee to protest that whole situation, and wants to get pardon ideas from them. I find that very, very, very ironic and very, very, very tone deaf, because if the president wants to do something in the idea of helping out, instead of just pardoning random people, how about fixing the system so that the people that are in jail don't need the pardon to begin with, so that you don't add more people to jail over senseless, nonviolent first offenses? Because a lot of these laws that are on the books are not only draconian, but they're also geared toward minorities to stay in jail and keep them out of the streets. And this is something that if Trump wants to champion a cause, he can champion that. Look in the books and see if those kinds of laws can be taken care of and looked at and corrected, as opposed to just saying, well, let's pardon this person, let's pardon that person, let's pardon that person, only because a celebrity brought it up. Now, if you're a celebrity and you have the power to champion a cause, that works. I will give Kim Kardashian West credit in that sense, because brought attention to a case, and now hopefully she will champion this and it will get more publicity, and maybe you were able to get shine a light on some other people in a system that has, for many, 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 many decades, has basically gone awry for anybody that is a minority in this country.
Okay, are you done? Can you breathe
now? Oh, I'm
now?
Done. I'm
you know,
done.
You know,
I'm
can
done.
You go take a sip of water? Thank you so much. Jeez.
There's my water.
Okay. Well, okay, Rob Rollins sent a message to the De Niro's, the Bill Maher's, and the Samantha Bees of the world, and those who applaud this regarding Robert De Niro behavior. Please keep doing this. Not only will it secure re-election, but it will crush whatever blue wave people are pinning their hopes and dreams in the midterm. It's like the left has learned nothing from 2016. What do you have to say about that, Tisha?
He's saying that we should agree, or we should fear that the Democrats are going to be crushed. I don't understand the message.
The Democrats will be crushed. That, you know, basically the left wing has not learned nothing from 2016. And, like, you know what, let's continue saying F. Trump. Let's continue to drop F-bombs. Let's continue to bash the president.
But the president is bashing others. So does that mean he has that power? He has the right power then? If that's the case, I don't get it.
Well, like Sean always told me, it's funny how people act like we have an expression. My monitor went out. It's an old wrestling expression. Basically, when you see something I'm doing wrong, you know, is okay. When I see Tisha doing something wrong, all hell breaks loose. When it comes to my turn and I'm doing something wrong, we don't see nothing. My monitor went out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
How some people see it.
It's the equivalent of turning your back on the situation. It's like, oh, I can't see. I didn't notice. Well, you don't you see me putting my foot on the guy's throat? Oh, my there was something in my eye. I didn't see it. So
yeah.
I understand what you guys are saying, but my thing is the fact that Trump is still allowed to rally and get things riled up. I mean, for
but I was so shocked. If it's working, I'm not arguing against that. Is not work. If it's working, why not? That's how he won the election for the most part, right? By making America great again. That line alone changed the whole platform of the election. Make America great again. Take it speaking. Make America white again. Let's be honest about that.
Okay,
the
and that line
that
also
help.
Brought out people like Roseanne to say the things that she said. Also,
the
so
other,
I don't
the
I don't understand.
The main reason why, if Trump gets reelected and we're still like a year or so away from any campaigning or any of that stuff. But if there's any reason why it happens, it's got nothing to do with anybody saying something. It's the fact that the Democrats don't seem to have a congealed, focused message. You can go on and say impeach. You can go on and say he said this and he's done that and everything else. If they don't have a plan where they can get a candidate who is maybe a millennial, somebody that can get into the Democratic mindset and get them focused and get the people that did not vote to vote, which is the real reason why Trump won. Because a lot of those people that voted for Obama, that voted in the past, they decided they just cashing in their chips and they're not going to vote. If they can touch those voters and get an actual message together where there's plenty of opportunity and there's plenty of examples to actually focus on, that would be the reason why they don't win. Not because they don't have reasons not to win. They don't have a candidate to get behind. And if that's the case, then there's going to be a lot of people that are going to like, well, what happened? What happened to all of that momentum? There's momentum. It just has to find that one candidate.
All right, K-Dog, if you're using that cheap mic again, I will hang up on you. Well, go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, K-Dog.
I see y'all still talking about Orange Boy, huh?
Okay, you know what? See, this is what – thank you for saying that. This is what I'm talking about. Here we are, talk about the double standard, and the first thing K-Dog just said, you talk about the Orange Boy. Now,
listen, look. The best way to shut a bully up is to fight back. You understand what I'm saying? So that's my way. You bite me, I bite you right back. And I'm not going to back down.
Well,
you know
so
what
you
it is? Let me tell you something about Orange Boy. See, Orange Boy, runs his mouth. He goes on social media. Yes, you look at the state of the country right now. You see a great division. You see a great divide, people jumping at each other's throats and stuff. And there's much more important stuff to talk about than Orange Boy. That's one of the reasons why I'm listening to the show tonight. So can we please move on from stupid Orange Boy to something a little more serious, please? Thank you very much.
I guess he told you.
I really don't know who he's talking to like that. I know he's talking to me. Maybe to Sean Black. Maybe to Tisha. But maybe
he's
to other listeners.
You.
I know he ain't talking to me. Well, okay. If I want to talk about Orange Boy or your president, I want to talk about it. I will talk about it. So,
all right, I understand that. You know, I understand that.
Okay.
Somebody sounds very angry.
Yeah. So let me go on to another topic because K-Dor says so. But Lady New York had passed a law. It kind of like irks me a little bit, so I might piss. I am not attacking the gay and lesbian community, not at all. But let's call it like it is. Some things does not sound right. New York had passed a bill to allow parents that just have kids, when it comes down to male or boy or girl, or the third box, X. X, that means with it, later on the gender could label themselves whatever they want to be. If my, as perfect example, my son, if I gave him the X, if he wants to be labeled as a female later on in life, when he turns 5 or 6 or 20 years old, that's his choice. Tisha, as a mother of a beautiful daughter, we label your child as X or we label your daughter as a girl?
Now, okay. This is what I totally disagree with because we're doing too much and we're putting too much emphasis on certain things that have nothing to do with, you know, your outside gender. Some of these kids at a certain age, they realize that they're gay, bisexual, whatever the case is. I could deal with that when that time comes. Why do I have to classify her as other or whatever it may be? Why do I need to do that? She's a girl. She came out of me as a girl. Whatever she decides to call herself in the future or whatever the case may be, that's her business. Why do we need to make it even harder for these kids? And this has nothing to do with your physical form. This is your, you know, sexual orientation, which is your private business.
Sean?
That's the thing that I don't understand.
Well, now we come to a label of, you know, what type of bathroom we use. We talk about this. We talk about that subject all the time. So to be correct and to be safe, put down X. Let the child come
up
with
it. You're doing too much on the birth certificate or whatever we're filling this out on. You're doing way too much.
Yeah.
I almost really don't know how to feel about this because it's one thing if you have the child has already been born and has shown tendencies towards a particular gender, whether it's behavior, whether it's routine, whatever it is. At least you have some proof that you can maybe say, well, maybe my male child is showing some feminine traits. Maybe my female child is showing male. And regardless of what it is, that's down the road 4, 5, 6, 10 years.
Exactly.
You're talking about now putting something on a birth certificate, either before the child is born or literally once the child is born and putting it on the birth certificate. That, for me, I don't know as far as what the mindset would be because you're either – it seems like you're trying to hedge your bets before the child is born. One, you don't know what the proclivity of the child is going to be as the child is born. You don't know if the child is going to be straight male, straight female, or bisexual or gay as the child gets older. That's something that its chemical makeup will determine as the child gets older, and then other experiences and stimuli will bring those along.
Right.
You can't determine, unless there's a blood test or there's something that you can find out while the child is in the womb, then you can do that. But to put an X on the birth certificate as a, I don't know what the terminology would be for a child being born that, in that way, I think that's a very premature and very presumptuous to put for a child. And it's actually a lot of pressure on the child, too.
In other words, it's too soon because, you know, like you guys said, you have to wait until the child is grown up because, you know what, when children grow up and they, you know, they start off during their adolescent years that they start to show who they are and discover who they are. I mean, it's too much for a child. They're labeling too much for a child. Let a child be a child. That's it. If it's a boy, let it be a boy. If it's a girl, let it be a girl. That's the bottom line. Wait until adolescent years. That's when you'll see something. You know, that's when you'll see a change. You know, you understand what I'm saying.
And also, I find it a little, you know, it's kind of also disrespectful towards the child also. They shouldn't be categorized. They shouldn't be put in a box and categorized by even their parent or whomever. It's enough of them later on in life. Some of these children who come out to their parents, they have to deal with a whole lot. They have to deal with a whole lot from not only their parents, but society, friends, relatives. So why are we going to, why do we need this other box? We're doing
it
too much.
It's almost like saying the hell with what the child's genitals are when it's
exactly.
born.
Exactly.
At least, as I said before, if the child, as the child grows and matures and discovers that that child is gay, lesbian, straight, etc., then there's nothing wrong with that. But to put a label on a birth certificate and the child is,
that's
what, 5 minutes old?
That's
right.
Well, what,
it's way
what,
too much.
What does that accomplish? Other than to appease the parents who may feel a certain way in that sense. That's the only,
and it
that's
also
the only
kind
reason
of,
I can think of.
It's also kind of the start of confusion, if you ask me. Because I don't know. To me, any parent that hits that X on other, you're a little bit confused. Maybe you need to figure out if you're gay, if you're a lesbian, or what's going on. Because I don't get it.
Exactly.
How do you tell?
And then
how do you tell when the child is born?
What happens when the child gets older and you've put X on that birth certificate and the child ends up straight? Then, as the child goes
That's
along,
right.
maybe they need to get a copy of their birth certificate for some reason, and then they have to explain, why do you have X on your birth certificate? When people are going to know what the X is supposed to signify on the birth certificate, it's like, well, you don't seem to have your, you know, you're, or you're straight, or you're going to, no, the child is straight. How does that person explain it? How does the child go through the stigma of knowing that they have this on their birth certificate, and they maybe they're looking to get a job in the future, or maybe they're trying to some official business where they would need to show the birth certificate. How do they explain that? Which is something else that's completely extra that the child doesn't need to have on their shoulders, because now they have to explain or live up to this label, where we've already boxed so many different people into so many different labels already.
Well, I think overall, I disagree with Sean a little bit about. Well, I agree that X should not be part of life. It should be whether the way you're born, male or female, your sexual preference come later on in life. Not at 5. I believe sexual preference should come in your teenager age, when you know what your body is going through, then you know the different changes in your body. And I say this before, I know I say this on the show years ago. If my son, who's about to be 5 soon, come up to me and tell daddy, I want to be a girl, you know I will slap my boy. There's no question about that. And you know, other gay people have told me this, like, you don't know when you're going to turn gay. Yes. Or you have sexual preference. But it seems like today, now is like a cool thing to be gay. Like, I want to be down with it, instead of let me fall in love with that person. Let me just turn gay because it's the it thing to do. So we have a whole different type of generation of gayness that a lot of gay people told me. I would not know these things, but it is funny how, like Tisha said, it's nothing but pressure now. You know, you have to deal with parents, deal with school. Now you got to do it like a boy or girl. It's like I told Sean the other day, on the train ride, I saw a girl that looked like a guy, and next to her was her friend from school, a guy that looked like a girl playing with his hair and his legs crossed. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, am I missing something here? Is this what this generation has become now? I'm like,
you know, some kids actually believe they were also born gay. I have a friend that's like that, and I'm going to tell you, around 7 years old, he was playing with Ken, like Ken was Barbie, and he's gay. And he feels like he was born gay. So you do have some of the kids that already feel like they were born gay, but this is for them to judge when they get older and know what being gay is.
But with those toys, like my daughter, she's 2 years old. She played with wrestling toys, but doesn't mean she's going to be a dyke.
No, that doesn't mean anything. But I'm telling you from what he already established.
Right.
Yeah, but when people use
a
reference of toys,
people use the toys as a reference. They use it very much because, let's just say, a boy who plays with dolls. This is what it is. They'll find it odd. Like, why is that little boy playing with a Barbie doll? What's going on here? They're playing with an American Girl doll. What's going on? As opposed to when a boy is playing with G.I. Joe or playing with action figures, it's a whole different thing. But people become alarmed.
I never found it, odd with us playing with, Ken with him and, my sister's playing Barbie, but for him to come out and say that he already knew he was gay. He's telling us when he felt that he was gay.
But you also know
7 years old.
That seems to also be part of this gender programming that we seem to have gone through in regular schools since probably the dawn of time, where it was always established boys like blue, girls like pink. Any variance of the two is detrimental, quote unquote. Girls got to play with dolls. And even there's the fact that guys play with, quote unquote, action figures, which are nothing more than male violent versions of dolls, where girls play with dolls. It's the same kind of, it's that gender norming kind of trying to cherry pick right now. If you're a boy, you're supposed to be playing with trucks. And you're supposed to be playing with action figures and toy guns and
cars,
and, footballs and cars. Girls are supposed to play dress up and get the easy bake oven and stay in that pigeonhole idea that's supposed to develop the child from young until they get old.
I mean, at your age, you still play dress up, right? I know you still do at your age. What?
Oh, man.
But quickly, we have left. I want to get to the main topic now. This past week, it's been like a crazy week in the Hollywood world or celebrity world. Kate Spade, fashion designer, I believe, committed suicide.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, also TV personality and chef Anthony Bourdain killed himself, which I'm not going to lie, that shocked me even more because I met him years ago, one of the nicest, humble guy that you know. And like I told Sean, he's like a nice asshole. He's like very blunt, tell like it is. But you figure someone like that who travels around the world, he's different food. Like he's like living a life, took his life away. And Sean and I would talk about mental illness, how I believe everybody is suffering from mental illness some type of form, but Sean doesn't see it that way. Why?
Well, I look at it, if you're going it depends on what you're going through in life. Chemically, that may figure into what some sort of issues may develop. One of the things that a lot of people deal with when you hear about suicide or people having suicidal thoughts, the first thing that pops into the head is, oh, it's mentally ill. He or she had to have been, something wrong chemically or whatever the case. Now, there are times when, in a lot of instances we hear about suicides, we find out at some point that the person might have had a chemical imbalance. Something might have happened where they needed to take medication, or maybe they might have been bipolar, or maybe they might have been schizophrenic or manic depressive, whatever the mental diagnosis might be. There are some instances where we hear about people that are suicidal, and it has nothing to do with, quote-unquote, any of those diagnoses. In some instances, as you've heard me say this before, some people want to watch the world burn. and they want to do whatever they can to other people and then end their own lives. Like we've seen from like suicide bombers and people that have done those kinds of crimes.
Is that a form of mental illness, Sean?
I don't think so. In this sense, there are people that really just don't care for life, their own or anyone else's. If we're looking at somebody who is diagnosed, for the most part, we hear about, well, and when you're born, depending on how you're raised, you'll have a certain belief structure, self-value, self-worth, etc. That happens. At some instance, for some people, something happens in life that detours you from what you want or what you think is what you would want to get out of life. Now, from what we're seeing from a lot of these suicides that have happened with celebrities, success seems to mask a lot of their pain and a lot of what they've gone through. And you think of success, you don't think of sadness, you don't think of depression, you don't think of the normal ideals behind them. They're just as human as anyone else. But as we've seen before, we've seen a lot of people that have won the lottery, and then they end up saying that it is the worst thing that ever happened to them because there's a whole new set of things that happen that just aren't highlighted because they've won. You don't hear about the bad stuff that happens until it's gotten bad. So I think from this sense, we're seeing celebrities who are so successful, but they use their success to hide just how depressed or lonely or whatever they really are. And it's sad, but these are the kinds of things that happen.
All right. Well, Tisha, Kay Spade, part of the reason why she committed suicide was she was separated from her husband, and it was basically about to file for divorce. I'm sure you heard of ladies, or females, excuse me, have been through tough relationships, have thought about suicide. What was your thought that when you heard Kay Spade hung herself regarding basically over depression of her relationships?
I thought allegedly that could have took a toll on her as well. And for the fact that we don't know what she was going through in those, you know, past 10 months or even before those 10 months, we don't know what kind of medication and things like that she was taking also. You have to remember something. When you start taking anything, and it could be something your doctor prescribes to you, there's always side effects on it. So, for example, you guys are talking about, you know, chemical imbalances and things like that. The minute that you start taking anything, it's going to be a chemical imbalance throughout your body regardless. Not saying that, okay, it's going to make everybody commit suicide, but we don't know what she was going through. And like you said about Anthony, can you pronounce his last name again?
Anthony Bourdain.
Bourdain,
yes. His traveling, he was traveling like 200 and let's say 65 days out of the year or whatever the case is. You don't know if also with him traveling was sort of like him masking his depression or staying active so that he doesn't feel depressed. We don't know.
The other thing that a lot of people don't realize about Anthony Bourdain is that he also was a drug addict prior.
Years ago, he was a heroin addict, and that
might have chemically changed the way his mindset was permanently. So we don't know about that factor either.
All right, and to K Dog, last night on Brother B Show, the menu, you guys talk about drugs, like the true drug dealers. Do you feel that today drugs are even worth it for mental illness / depression?
Listen, it does contribute a lot, but you know what it is. People become addicted to pills. People become addicted to pain, you know, to different sorts of medication out there. And, of course, it does contribute, you know, drugs do contribute to mental illness. But, however, what I wanted to break down is this, is that when you look at mental illness, especially the kinds that we're talking about, especially when it comes to suicide, you know, there's a saying that says, who knows it, feels it. I mean, people are looking at celebrities, but also I wanted to bring up another. I'm sorry, I'm not getting off of topic. What I said was this, is that, yes, drugs do contribute to it because, you know what, your mindset, it messes up your brain. There are drugs out there that do mess up your brain, and it drives you insane. You understand what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to people who are bipolar, who depending on medication to kind of keep their mood subtle. And also people who are manic depressive who have to take pills to keep them up and all. So with that being said, in some ways or another, it does contribute a lot to it. It does contribute to the problem. Too much of it or whatever it is that the doctor's prescribing you, yeah, it could mess your brain up.
And suicide overall is actually on the rise. And from 1999 until 2016, the Center for Disease Control basically said that the rate of suicide increased 28% in that small amount of time, from 1999 to 2016. Now, on the uptick, if we go back to what happened over this last week with Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, their suicide, the suicide prevention hotline saw an increase of 25% of people calling, seeing that, especially with the Bourdain suicide, which hit a lot of people, it seems like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And they could identify with him because he was such a gregarious person. He was always on TV. He was a fine cook. And his stories were always on television. And they felt some sort of, I guess, a kinship with him. So over the last week or so, lots of people have been calling the hotline. I have the hotline number for anybody that I'll bring that up. For those that actually think that they need to call, the number is 1-800-273-8255. That's the suicide prevention hotline for anybody that, if they're listening to the show, and we don't know who listens to the show or what their mental state is. If you feel that you need to make a call, we'll try at least to get out there figuring with absolute truth. We're out there to help. So the number, once again,
800-273-8255. As a matter of fact, sorry for interrupting, but I was having a conversation about the whole suicides with my brother, who's also an educator, and he was telling me that there has been a rise in young people right here in New York City, young people who have committed suicide, and it doesn't make the news. I mean, he was talking about kids as young as the first grade up to like the senior year in high school committing suicide or threatening to commit suicide. And he also said that there has been a lack of counselors in these schools that could help children with that problem.
Well,
it's a serious, it's serious out there.
Very,
very serious.
And usually they talk about self-harm being the first, one of the first signs, you know, cutting,
cutting your
things
wrist,
like that,
and
then harm to pets, harm to animals, harm to others,
but harms to themselves, and it's really bad out there, and it never makes the news that these kids are killing themselves, but now everybody's talking about it once it happens in the celebrity world. And as for celebrities, I just wanted to add this, is that people, you know, there are a culture of people that say, oh, well, I don't know why that person has to kill themselves. Oh, they have all this money. Listen, fortune and fame cannot make you happy. And I look at what happened to Robin Williams a couple of years ago. Robin Williams, who made millions laugh, millions of people laugh, when we didn't realize that he was crying on the inside. You know, it's a very serious, it's serious out there. Suicide is, you know, you got to, that's why it's always best to talk to people, but some people are not going to talk to people. They feel that pride, like they don't want to be condemned or judged by anybody if they have a problem.
Tisha?
Go ahead.
My main thing is that, and I'm going to say this because I noticed for like a diabetes medication, one of the side effects, and they're always showing it on TV, is actual suicide. They tell you on that you can have seizures, suicide. So I'm wondering, with certain medications, the first thing that I feel like you should do is check the side effects on it also, and then discuss certain things with your doctor. because if you are suffering from depression, there are certain side effects that you would want to know about with this medication. You understand what I mean? It's a lot of things that contribute to suicide. It's not just one thing. And for people that's out there that's also listening and think that they may know somebody that's suicidal, don't push them away. You have a lot of people that will say, oh,
yeah,
you make so much money, what do you have to worry about and things like that.
No.
And I don't like I don't like that.
Me neither.
It's funny that you say about medicine, because I know Sean and I, we go back and forth. I don't believe in medicine. I don't believe in medicine today, even though I do take my asthma pump, because that's a life-threatening. But pills and stuff like that, I don't believe in that, because some medicine to me cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking pills that give you suicide thoughts, is it worth to take it overall? If you think about killing yourself, is technically speaking, this medicine today supposed to help
you,
or technically speaking, treat you instead of trying to give you all these side effects? I never understood medicine today.
The bottom line is this, and I just wanted to echo what T said. Listen, for people out there, if you know somebody who is going through it, who's feeling down and out, do not push them away. Please let them talk. Talk to them. Pay them a visit. Have them, you know, just console them and say, hey, listen, look, let's talk. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Because
I think it's to the last person, 210. You're on the air. You know who this is.
Yo, what up, y'all?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey.
Greetings and salutations.
Yes. How you doing?
All right.
Okay. How you doing?
The floor is yours.
You know,
we got 3 minutes left.
Yo, you know what's real crazy? When it comes down to the suicide thing, man, some people are not over, they don't want to talk. Sometimes they don't want to talk because they don't figure that people can't relate.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can't, like, if I'm feeling that way, and I've been in that dark place before, what's the purpose of talking to somebody who really can't relate to what you're going through? Like, I remember after my mother passed away, like, years ago, you know, I would sit in the living room in the dark and just think, and my sister and my brother would be like, oh, something's wrong with you. What is wrong? What do you mean what's wrong? Nothing's wrong with me. I just don't want to be around anybody. I just don't want to talk. Oh, we need to get you to talk to somebody. Why do I need to talk? Why can't I just sort it out within myself? That's the thing. You know, sometimes you want to push people to talk, and some people push away. I mean, you got to kind of gauge the situation. But look at Robin Williams. Did he really talk about it a lot?
No.
All he did was just kept trying to make people laugh to hide his pain, until one day it wasn't a joke anymore. It just happened.
You know, and why are you trying to talk to someone and that person cannot really help you? And as you say, they can't relate. What's the next step?
If the person puts you down and, you know, say, oh, please, you're talking ridiculous here.
And well, you'll get over it. That you hear nonsense like, oh, you'll get over it, but you know you don't want to be alone, et cetera, et cetera. And
yeah,
I
don't
that,
like that.
Yeah, that you have to understand that most people that are in that on the cusp of being suicidal, they're looking for validation to keep them alive. They're not looking for a reason to end it. Because most people are that we've heard that are suicidal are looking for something that's like, give me a reason to keep me from jumping off this cliff. Or give me the reason to keep me from pulling this trigger. And that's all they're looking for. And if you're in the mindset that you're just going to go ahead and say, you know, well, you what do you have to worry about? You got 3 children. You're making millions of dollars, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to worry? When you hear those kinds of things, that's when you start to push someone over the edge.
Okay,
and that's the reason.
We have a minute left. I have to give it to Brother B. Anything you'd like to say for the last minute, Brother B?
I'm just saying, man, we just all need to be well to one another, man. Like I said, we got to stress humanity before anything. We need to stop, man. We need to stop with all the distractions and take a look at and what each other's doing, man. It's all about humanity. Sometimes I feel like we're a failed experiment. Because look what we're doing to one another.
Yes.
Exactly.
And Sean, quickly, give the number one last time for anyone that needs to talk.
The Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255.
Okay, so Brother B, K-Dog, T-Shirt, and Sean Black, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition. Quiet.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Have a good night, everyone.
All right, have a good night.
Have a good night, y'all.
Yes.
Peace out.
Pleasure is all yours.
Pleasure is all yours.